Genesis chapter 7 tonight, verse 1. Looking at another portrait this evening, another character from Scripture. Genesis chapter 7, we're just going to read the first part of verse 1, where the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Noah." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the... struck me as I was reading through like chapter 6 and 7 and on through the story of Noah is that Noah gets a lot of instruction. God is telling Noah a lot of things about the ark and all that's going to take place. But what struck me was Noah doesn't talk. Noah, the only time we find Noah speaking is at the very end, after the flood, after they've gone their way and things kind of fall apart for Noah and he curses one son and blesses another. That's what we find. That's all the time we find Noah talking. Now, this isn't to say that Noah didn't speak, because we know that there would, of course, be times where Noah was talking, but it's just not recorded in Scripture. And it seems like the emphasis is that God is giving all of these instructions to Noah, and Noah just sits there and listens. And listening is an important skill to have. The joke is said that one time a wife said to her husband, she said, "You're not listening to me." And he replied, "That's a weird way to start a conversation." I think maybe we found ourselves in that situation before, but for me, I remember one time, this is when I was, a long time ago when I was young, we're on vacation, we're up in Vermont with my mom's parents, and we'd gone to church that Sunday morning, so we'd come through the whole church service and Sunday school, and I was riding back to the farm with Uncle David and Aunt Ginny. And so I'm in the back of the car, and then we're talking. And then I remember Aunt Ginny asked me, she goes, "What did you get out of this morning's message?" I hadn't really paid attention. And all of a sudden, it was this really awkward time for me where I'm like, what did I hear? Like, what was the passage? Like, what did the preacher say? And I didn't have anything because I hadn't listened. And it was this moment for me going, uh-oh. I got caught not listening. And I've told the story before where I used to bring mints, and like that was probably what I was focused on that time. But you know, in Luke chapter 8, in verse 8, you don't have to turn there, but as Jesus Christ is going through this parable, and he tells this parable to the crowd there, at the end he says this, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And you know, we look at that and go, they heard him, right? They were there and they had ears that are functioning and Jesus was talking. I'm sure they listened and they heard, but isn't there a difference between like listening and hearing, if we kind of put it that way, or like being there and the sound waves going in and doing all the things they do in your eardrum and all of that, right? That's one thing. But to actually pay attention and to like listen with the idea of, I want to really take this in. I don't want to just like be there and hear the things and then forget the things. I really want to listen. And we need to start doing that, or at least continue doing that as Christians. And I think we could do with a bit more listening in our life. Certainly the people around us, you know, and husbands to their wives, I'm sure that's a good one, or children to your parents, I'll throw that one out there, right? All these different relationships that we have. But definitely with the Lord, definitely we should do more listening as God speaks to us through his word. And I think that's what we see in this portrait of Noah, is that he was a man who knew how to listen to God. And boy, it's a good thing he did. There's a lot of reasons why it's so important for Noah to have listened to God. And I want to look at three reasons why it was important for Noah to listen. And it's for those three same reasons that it's important for us to listen to God. So here's the first reason. Number one, listening is required for obedience. It's required for obedience. So again, Noah receives so many instructions that God gives him. And if we look back in chapter 6 and verse 14, it starts here. The Lord says to Noah, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. Make it of, the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in the cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now I read these instructions about this ark, and I wonder if they're just abbreviated form, if God gave Noah more instructions. I look at this and go, I couldn't build a boat out of this. maybe I could, but it wouldn't float. It certainly wouldn't hold all these animals and my family. I don't know, maybe God gave Noah more specific instructions in regard to this. But if Noah hadn't listened, if Noah had kind of blown off this message from God and just hadn't paid attention, he couldn't have done the next step in verse 22 where it says, thus did Noah. I'm sure there were things Noah could have done and other things, but he wouldn't have done what God told him to do. There had to be that initial step of, as God spoke, Noah listened. Noah really listened to what God told him to do. It's possible to hear without obeying, but it's not possible to obey without hearing. You can hear and then choose not to obey, but you can't really obey if you haven't heard what the command is, right? And I'm sure parents, we deal with this all the time, right? You can't obey me if you're not listening, so listen to me when I talk to you. If we're going to obey God, that first step is listening. Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me, Jesus said, and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Jesus said, number one, you hear. Number two, you go and do it. Hearing, listening, it's half the battle. And maybe it's the easier half of the battle sometimes, but not always. Sometimes it's hard for us to really pay attention. And I think there's so many distractions in life, so many things that are just are on our mind and distract us. But if we want to obey, it has to start with listening. If we want all the blessings of obedience, it starts with listening. Really just being quiet and taking in what God is trying to tell us. And when it comes to obedience, we could do a bit more listening to what God has to say for us. So, number one, listening. It's required for obedience. Noah had to hear what God said in order to then go and do it. But then number two, listening is also required for safety. It's required for safety. The instructions that we read in chapter 6, that was for Noah's safety and his family's safety. It was for their protection in the midst of this flood. And if Noah had gone about and ignored them and hadn't listened, he would have been putting him and his family in danger. Something kind of humorous happened over Christmas. Family was getting together at Angie and Joel's, and before we even got there, they told us this when we got here, Dad decided to microwave a plate of food. You don't mind if I tell you this, do you? Too late. So he decided to microwave food that was on a paper plate. And it's whatever. We do this all the time. He stuck the paper plate in there. But when he turned the microwave on, it burst into flames. There was a ring of fire around that plate. And it turns out, for whatever reason, they made a paper plate with I guess, metal in the paint that they put around the rim of this plate. And who would have thought, right? You just throw it in there. You flip the plate over, though. We found this after. You flip the plate over and it had this enormous warning on the bottom of the plate. And who looks on the bottom, right? But this enormous warning that you should not put this in the microwave. Hey, we didn't know that was there, right? So you just don't even know it's there, and you stick it in there, and then you got flames in your microwave. My point is, warnings aren't any good if you don't listen to them. If you don't heed the warning, if you're not there to hear it, or you don't see it, or you're not aware of it, all the warnings in the world are not going to do you any good if you don't listen to them. So look in chapter 6 and verse 13. Here's what God said this unto Noah. The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now look in chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Noah and his family were safe because the very first thing Noah did was he listened. When God spoke, Noah listened. If Noah had not listened, he and his family would have been like everyone else on the earth at that time. What was that difference was that he started listening and then he obeyed. But God gave him all of this instruction for his safety. Now go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. The things that God has told us in his word, the wisdom that he gives us, is for our good. It's for our protection. It's for our safety. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now look down in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Ye have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Whoever hearkens unto wisdom dwells safely. Hearken is that, it's that combination of listening and obeying. Right? But there has to be listening there. It has to be that we hear him, and the person that listens dwells safely. And wisdom is constantly calling out to us. We have the word of God, scripture, and God is constantly calling out to us through scripture. And it's in that scripture that we get the wisdom that is talked about in chapter 1, where wise men will hear and will increase learning, right? That wisdom. We can get knowledge anywhere, like secular knowledge. I mean, you can get that almost anywhere. But I think you could go to any secular university or college campus and find people that are so filled with knowledge and yet don't have any wisdom, any of like the true biblical wisdom. They can know so much and yet be so unwise. It's almost amazing how smart people can be and how unwise and foolish they can be when it comes to the things that really matter. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, we read it this morning, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Thinking that they were wise and telling everyone they were wise, yet it says they became fools. How far will secular knowledge take you? I mean, it'll take you pretty far in this life, won't it? I mean, the more you know, maybe the better jobs you can get, and you know, the more money you can make, and the more fame you can accumulate. Secular knowledge can take you pretty far, but it will not take you as far as you need to go, right? It won't. There's things far beyond this life that we need to get to, right? We talk about eternal life and salvation. Secular knowledge isn't going to get you there. It's listening to the wisdom of the gospel, listening to the wisdom of the truth. And many people, they profess themselves to be wise with all the knowledge that they've gained. And yet because they don't have the wisdom that God offers, because they just don't listen, it says professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Psalm 119 and verse 97 and 98. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments, thou hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. It's through the word of God, right? It's all the wisdom that God has given to us in this book. And we just listen to it. God gives us that wisdom. But it comes with listening to the word of God. But then there's also the working of the Holy Spirit through that. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Bible says that the things of God, they're spiritually discerned, not naturally discerned, right? It's the word of God, and then it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us to really help us to understand and to teach us. But the work of the Holy Spirit through the word of God takes listening. And when we listen to what God is trying to teach us, there's safety in that. If you're still in Proverbs, go to chapter 3 with me. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21. This is all through the book of Proverbs, but chapter 3 and verse 21. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. There are things that God wants to keep us from that look fine to us, that in our own minds we could justify or find a reason to do that or make that decision and go that way. And to us, every way of man seems right in his own eyes. And we're pretty good at this, like fooling ourselves into thinking it's okay. And God is trying to keep us from those things. He's trying to tell us that is not the path for you. It's going to hurt you if you go that way. It's going to hurt other people if you make that choice. And we need to listen to this. That's where it starts, listening and then obeying for our own safety. God has a path for us that is the safe path, that's the right path for us. And if we don't listen, we're going to find ourselves going our own way, making our own choices down a path that's not going to end well for us. And God tries to keep us through his word from listening to ourselves and then making bad decisions that come back to bite us in the end. We just need to listen. We need to listen for our own safety. We always have the option to not listen, but it's always dangerous. So number two, listening is required for our safety. But then lastly, number three, listening is required for peace. It's required for peace. So back in Genesis, this time in chapter 8. So Noah listens to the instructions of God. He makes this ark, brings the animals into the ark, his family. God shuts the door. The rain begins. The flood comes. And Noah is safe in that ark because he listened and obeyed. And then he comes down now to chapter 8 and verse 15. Verse 14, it says, the earth was dried. But in verse 15, God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. So God tells Noah that it's time to go. The earth is dried. It's fine for Noah and his family to leave the ark and for the animals to go out. And it's like everything was different, right? The whole world had changed. The power of those waters in that flood to like reshape the face of the earth is amazing. So everything would have looked completely different to Noah. I wonder what it was like to be the only ones alive. Like, I wonder what that was like for them to go out of that ark going, this is it. These animals are what there are, and my family. And I wonder what that experience was like for Noah. And Noah is charged with going and rebuilding and repopulating the earth. But then God makes this promise to Noah. In verse 20 of chapter 8, Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So God makes that decision. And then in chapter 9 and verse 8, God says this to Noah. God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you and of the fowl and of the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between you, between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. God made this promise to Noah that he was not going to flood the earth again, that he wasn't going to flood the entire earth and destroy all of mankind with a flood. And Noah listened to that. But what if Noah hadn't listened? What if Noah just kind of ignored it when God spoke? I think every time a raindrop fell, Noah would panic, you know? Can you imagine the next time you come out of that ark and you feel a raindrop, you're like, everybody back in the ark. Get back in there. I think if it were me and if I hadn't listened, I'd do some routine maintenance on the old ark, you know? Test it every once in a while, make sure it holds water, maybe keep some animals around just in case, make sure there's plenty of food on that ark. If Noah hadn't listened when God told him he would not ever again flood the ark, I don't think there could have been any peace in Noah's life. I think he just would have been waiting for that to drop again. And maybe every time he sinned, he was like, oh, back in the ark, you know? Because God had punished the whole earth. He had seen the judgment of God on sin. And yet God gives to Noah this promise that Noah didn't have to fear that flood again, that Noah was never going to have to go through that again. And he put this symbol in the clouds for Noah at the end of a rainstorm, that there would be this rainbow to remind Noah of this continual promise that God has not changed, that promise is still there, and Noah would not have to be afraid of going through that flood ever again. God gave to him this message that really was a message of peace. And Noah heard that. And it was important for Noah to listen in order to have the peace that God wanted to give to him. Now, when we listen to God, we find that message of peace. To those that are saved, to those that know Jesus Christ, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John chapter 16 and verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We're going to have tribulation. There's going to be difficulty in this earth. But through it all is this message of peace that God gives to us if we listen. If we listen when God speaks. And I want to read a number of passages now. And let's start back in Joshua chapter 1, if you'll go there with me. Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to read several verses, and there's a common theme that runs through all of these that I think you'll see from the very first one, but Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Here's what God says to Joshua through Moses. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Go to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6. Here's Gideon. God is calling on Gideon to lead the children of Israel against the Midianites. And Gideon's not exactly thrilled about it at the beginning. Isn't sure that he could do it. But the Lord tells him this in verse 14 of Judges chapter 6. The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. "Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And then if we look down to the end of the chapter in verse 19, the Lord says to Jeremiah that they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Two more. If we go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 and verse 9. As Paul is in Corinth to preach the gospel, Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace." You know, I usually don't think of Paul as being afraid to talk, afraid to preach the gospel. But look what the Lord tells him in verse 10. He says, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." The Lord said, "I am with thee." And then one more, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." How many times, though, do we forget all of this? I mean, we see it over and over in Scripture that God is with us, that God has promised to be there and to be all that we need. And yet there's so many times that we just seem to forget this. It's like we've stopped listening and we've stopped hearing what God is trying to tell us in all of this. And there's so many more verses we could go to that tell us about who the God is, who God is that is with us, His love and His power, His mercy, His knowledge, and all of this. We could go on and talk about all of these. These are the promises, just like the promise that was given to Noah, these are the promises that are given to us. And there's such a peace when we just listen, when we just get in the Word of God and listen to what God tells us and all that He's promised of who He will be for us, that He never leaves us nor forsake us. There's peace in that. But only when we listen, only when we hear. As soon as we get away from that and all of a sudden we make everything about us and who we are and what we can do, there goes that peace. Because all of a sudden it's all on our shoulders to carry everything and to do everything. And then we get back to the Word of God and we listen and we hear. And God says, I will take care of you. I am with you. And God fills our heart with peace if we just listen to Him. It needs listening. Listening is required for peace. So Noah is this portrait for us of listening. God spoke to Noah, and what we find is Noah just listens. I'm sure there's times where he talked and all of those things, but the emphasis in Scripture is that Noah listened to the instructions that God gave to him. And he had to listen because his obedience, his safety, and his peace depended on it. And it's the same for us as well. If we want to obey God, we need to listen. If we want to be safe, we need to listen. If we want peace, we need to listen. But I think often we find ourselves doing the opposite of listening, which is speaking. And speaking, again, it's not wrong, but I think timing is everything in this. When we speak and when we listen, the timing's important. One of the worst people with timing historically is a Japanese man. His name was Tsutomu Yamaguchi. So it was the summer of 1945. He was on a three-month-long business trip to Hiroshima. And so he was there for 3 months, and the time came when he was supposed to leave, and that day was August 6th. And he's walking to the train station to head back to his hometown from Hiroshima, and he realizes he's forgotten his ID, so he goes back to his workplace. He gets there, and he's then going now from work to where he was going to leave from. And on that walk, an American B-29 bomber dropped an atomic bomb less than 2 miles from where he was, from where he was walking. It ruptured his eardrums, and he had radiation burns over most of his body, but he survived. He survived that atomic blast less than 2 miles away from him. And he was taken to a hospital and taken care of. And it was, I think it was the next day or the day after that he returned home to Nagasaki, which was where he lived. And on August 9th, the second American B-29 dropped the second atomic bomb, again, less than 2 miles away from this man. And again, he survived. He is the only person officially recorded as surviving both atomic bombs. You go, this poor man. Like, the horrible timing to not just go through one, but two of those. Timing is everything sometimes. And you know, it's when we should be listening, the wrong timing then is for us to be talking and for us to be speaking when it's time for us to listen. And I want to read one more verse. So if you'll go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 19. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We're not told to not speak, but we are told to be slow to speak and swift to hear. And just to be clear, when we're talking about listening, we're talking about reading the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit talk to us, right? Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us through the Word of God. Swift to hear, slow to speak. What would Noah have missed if he hadn't listened? What would Noah's life have been like if he had chosen not to listen at any of these times, to any of these instructions that God gave to him? What would Noah's life for him and his family have been if he had chosen that he didn't need to listen, or if he thought it wasn't important or he could do without it, but if Noah just hadn't listened? And what is our life going to be like if we choose to not listen? If with all that God has said to us and all that God is trying to show us, what are we going to miss if we don't listen? I want to challenge us this week to really make an effort to listen to God, to really listen to the Word of God and get in the Word of God. And I know it can become a routine for us, and in that routine, we can just kind of go through it and hear it, but not really listen to it. But I challenge us this week, as we spend time in the Word of God, to not just go through the motions, but to really listen as God is trying to talk to us and say, Lord, help me not to miss it. Because maybe there's something this week that God wants you to obey that you really can't afford to miss. Something He wants to direct you in that God doesn't want you to miss. Maybe it's something for your safety that God wants to keep you from, to protect you from. And He says, if you just listen to me, it's going to go much better for you. Maybe it's just that you need some peace this week. And that's going to come when you listen. That you just block all of your own thoughts out and say, Lord, I just want to listen to what you have to say to me. And God can do all of that. But it comes when we listen. When we choose to be like Noah, and with all that God says, to just shut off the conversation that we're trying to have and say, I'm just going to listen to what God has to say to me. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. As you speak to us and as you communicate to us, as you teach us. But Lord, we pray that you'd help us to listen. Sometimes it's so hard with all that we've got going on and all that we're doing and how busy our lives are. Lord, this week, help us to really just listen to you, to get in your word and be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and simply hear what you're trying to tell us. And Lord, help us to be that portrait of listening. And Lord, we know that you are going to speak to us, that you're going to lead us and guide us and give us the peace that we need. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.